It's amazing when we realize what we can live without. We live in a society, in a period of time that has a multitude of things that we don't really need. It's okay to say amen, even if you've got a few of those things. I have a few of those. Now think about it, folks. Praise God, we have some gap bridgers here. Some of you remember the end days of World War II when you couldn't get tires. Or shoe leather. Or sugar. Or you had to take your bacon grease and keep it and bring it down because they made they took the glycerin from that and made bullets. Amen. That was a day where everything was rationing. And by the way, you can tell folks that are from that generation. They're good stewards. Amen. Amen. They learn how to... it's like the cartoon I saw one time about the old Indian chief. And he's holding something up in front of all these little Indians. And they're all looking at him and said, "What is that, great chief?" He said, "I don't know what it is, but it's the only part of the buffalo that we don't use." Amen? There's a lot of things that we think we can't live without, but in actuality, if we'd take a hard look, we'd realize that we can. Now, please don't get offended when I say some of these things. Remember what I preached on Sunday, amen? You know, people say, "Oh, I need lots of money." Well, I've known people to live a good life without much money. For the love of money is the root of all evil, 1 Timothy 6:10 tells us. Now here's one, and again, nothing wrong with this. I need my family. Nothing wrong with family. I'm for it. I preach about family. Amen. But you know what? There are people in this room, you don't have any more family. They're all gone. Aren't you glad the Bible says in Psalm 27:10, "When my mother and father forsake me, then the Lord shall lift me up." Amen. How about possessions? "Well, I just got to have this boat, or I got to have this third car. I can't live without this vacation home." Well, the Bible says we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain that we shall carry nothing out. How about your home? You say, "Listen, by the way, I have a home. You folks provide a home for us. We're very grateful for that." But you know what Jesus said? "Foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head." You know what that tells me? If push came to shove, we could live without a home. Some people in this room live without a home. Maybe you rent. I think of my mom. My mom lives in our home. She's a welcome guest there, amen. As long as she's with us, she'll be with us. But she doesn't have a home anymore. Possessions, talked about that. Sometimes we convince ourselves of the, forgive me, I don't usually like to say this from the pulpit, but we don't have any young people. Sometimes we convince ourselves of the stupidest things that are needs. "I just got to have cable TV, Pastor. I have got to have cable TV." I remember a guy told me one time, he asked me, we didn't have cable for years and years and years and years and years and just didn't really care. Still don't. I mean, I like watching sports, and I've been over some of your houses, and we watch sports, and Mom said she wanted cable. Fine, she doesn't need it, but she says, "Want it, that's fine. I remember a guy said to me one time, Brother Harmon, he said, "Hey, you know what you got to get? You got to get emergency cable." He's emergency. So I called 911, and I said, "I've got an emergency! I need cable!" It's pretty dumb, isn't it? Emergency cable. That's not a true story, by the way. I didn't call 911 because then it had been like this, amen? And I would have had an emergency. I didn't need to call the NCLL for law. No, you know what? It's a luxury, folks. It's a luxury. I'm glad to have it. I think about a vacation home. This is not, you got a vacation home that you worked hard for in your life. Praise God. Nothing wrong with it, but you don't need it. You don't need it. Technology. What did we ever do, Brother Tom, before these babies? Amen. I'm glad for it. Do a lot of things. I've been cataloging my library over the last couple of days. Have an actual thing that you put on your phone. It will scan the barcode on the back of the book and add it to your library. Incredible. Just incredible. But I don't need it. Let me talk to you about four things tonight, folks, that we cannot do without. One of them is right here in our text. Look at verse number 5. You probably spotted that when we read it. Chapter 15, verse 5. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. What's the first thing that we cannot do without? The Son of God. We cannot, listen, we cannot live the Christian life apart from abiding in the Son of God. Can't do it. Just can't do it. Let me just tell you, just by looking at the Scriptures here, there's no power when we're not abiding in Christ. There's no power. You know, by the way, what is abiding in Christ, Pastor? It's listening to Him. It's making sure that there's nothing between you and Him. You know, when you're abiding in Christ and you come to Him, you come to Him with a humble heart and you say, Father, reveal sin in my life and help me to forsake it because I want to abide in You because I take my very spiritual life from You and I don't want anything blocking that up. Abiding. When we don't abide in the Son of God, when we try to live absent of Him, when we try to do without Him, you say, Pastor, we don't try to do without Him. You'd be surprised. We can get in such a routine of doing, quote unquote, the right things that it can actually become a rut, ladies and gentlemen. Now listen, I'm not against you coming out for soul winning for duty. I think that's a good reason. I wish more people would come for duty's sake. Amen. Say, well, I just don't feel led. Well, you've got a command. You don't have to feel led. You're commanded. Amen. Go and preach the gospel to every creature. But listen to me, ladies and gentlemen. We can get into that rut where we excuse the Son of God from everything we do. And we have no power when we live that way. No power whatsoever. I'll tell you what else we don't have when we don't abide in the Son of God. Look at verse number 4. It said, abide in me and I in you. The branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine. No more can ye except it abide in me. You know what? If you're not abiding in Christ, you'll not be bearing any fruit for Him. Your Christian life will just be going from defeat to defeat to defeat to defeat. No victories, no fruit bearing. Why? Because we're not abiding in Him. We think we can do without the Son of God. We can't, ladies and gentlemen. Amen? We cannot. Something else. How about verse 7? Look at verse 7. It says, if ye abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what ye will and it shall be done unto you. Let's take the opposite end of that verse. It says, if you abide in me, you get answers to prayer. But if you're not abiding in me, amen? Yeah. Are you getting answers to prayer? No. No. Why? Because we think we can do without the Son of God and we can't. Without me, you can do nothing. Let me give you one more there if we're not abiding. Look at verse 11. These things have I spoken unto you that my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full. How does that happen, Pastor? Abiding in Christ. What happens if we don't abide in Christ, sourpuss? No joy. Eeyore Christianity. How you doing?
Well, I guess... not bad.
Well, amen. Well, amen. How you doing?
Well, I got up today.
Well, praise God for that. I'd rather be vertical than horizontal. Amen. But no joy. Why? Not abiding in the Son of God. You know, if we're not careful, ladies and gentlemen, the next point is about the church. But if we're not careful, we can get so wrapped up in the church. And please, please, folks, please don't misunderstand me. I don't want you becoming unfaithful. But if we're not careful, we can get so wrapped up that we forget that Jesus wants to talk to us.
Amen.
He wants to talk to us. He wants us to bear fruit. He wants us to have joy. He wants to answer our prayers. So, what's the first thing we can't do without? The Son of God. Next, go over to 1 Corinthians, and I'm going to hurry on these last three points. It's 10 after right now, amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I'd like to read the whole passage here. I'm trusting this is a Veteran Wednesday crowd, and you know what's going on in this passage here. The Apostle Paul is, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, is comparing the church to a body. And he says in verse 18 there, he says, "But now hath God set the members in order, every one of them in the body, as it hath pleased Him." Boy, I love that. You know what you ought to put next to that? Matthew 16:18. Jesus said, "I will build my church." God brings the right people along for just such a time. Amen. Thank God. Then he goes on, he says, "If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing?" He's giving us an illustration here. And it's a silly illustration. What if the whole body was just an eye? Well, then we wouldn't be able to hear. And he goes on, let's go down to verse 21. And this is kind of where I want you to see. "And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you." What's the second thing we can't do without? We can't do without the Son of God. But I'll tell you this, ladies and gentlemen, we can't do without the Church of God either. The family of God.
Amen.
The family of God. It equates it here to a body. The eye, even if it was so prominent, it could never say to the hand, "I have no need of thee." I was down just before church tonight, down in the pavilion, just brought a couple books down there, and it was so nice at twilight, and I was sitting there studying a little bit for this message, and all of a sudden a bug came near my eye. And you know who was the first one to the eye's defense?
The hand.
Just get out of there. You know, get out of there. That's what the hand does. Why? Because it's a body. It's part of the body. See, there's a lot of Christians out there that have been hurt in churches. And by the way, justly so. They've been hurt. Nothing has hurt more Christians than business meetings. Amen. I thank God for the business meetings we have. Quick, quiet. Amen. We get it done. Amen. Get God's business done. But there's a lot of foolishness that takes place at business meetings. And there's a lot of Christians that are hurt, and they have excused themselves from fellowship. They don't realize we need each other. I saw a man today. God bless him, was very kind to him. He'd been here for a while. He left. When he left, I said, "You are disobeying Hebrews 10:25. I'll just have church at my house." "No, you won't. They don't have any deacons there. They don't have pastors there. They don't serve the Lord's table there. They don't baptize converts there." Oh, I know there's some home churches that do all that. God bless them, amen. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about people that get disgruntled and leave church.
Yeah.
Folks, Church of God isn't something we can take or leave. It's what Jesus Christ died for.
Amen.
It's what God shed His blood for. We need each other. Listen, you may be the hand, I may be the eye. You may be the ear, you may be the foot. It works together, doesn't it? Boy, when one foot itches, the other foot comes over and scratches it. Amen. We need each other. I think about people who say, "Well, I'm just going to be by myself." Well, then how are you going to love one another? Which is the new commandment. If there's nobody else to love, you just love yourself, I guess. No, that's not. No, God wants us to listen. We're a body. And we can't just be cutting off parts of the body, amen, and expect the body to stay healthy.
Amen.
Can't do without the Son of God. Can't do without the Church of God. Number three, go to Hebrews chapter 9. Oh, I'd like to camp here for a while, but I just don't have the time. I'm rushing myself tonight. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22, church. You know it. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22. And almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood, there is no remission. The Son of God, the Church of God, the blood of God. Ladies and gentlemen, church after church after church is getting taken over by apostates who want a bloodless religion. There is no such thing.
Amen.
Amen. Jesus Christ died on the cross and He shed His blood for our sins. Get that down, folks. That's not something we can take it or leave. We cannot do without the blood of Christ. Why? Because there's no salvation otherwise. No salvation. Cain tried to do it, didn't he? He didn't like the smell of that burning offering. Maybe the hair of that lamb and the flesh, and it just didn't like it. So he went out to his garden and got the best of what he could give God. And brought it to God. And God was not pleased with that offering. Why? Because it was bloodless. I'm telling you, this king was the first modernist. And there's many a modernist that stand in a pulpit much higher up, much more ornate than that, and preach that we're a bunch of Neanderthals because we believe in the gory story. Listen, we believe the Bible. We believe the Bible. And I'll tell you what, you can follow that trail of blood all the way from Genesis. When God slayed the animals and put skins on Adam and Eve, all the way to Revelation when He comes back and His vesture and His thigh dipped in blood and His name is called the Word of God. Can't do without the blood, folks. No church without the blood. Not in existence. The blood of God. Can't do without it. Can't do without the Church of God. Can't do without the Son of God. Let me give you the last one. You're in Hebrews. Go over to Hebrews chapter 11. Look at verse number 6, please. Familiar verse. Familiar verse. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. Say, what's the last point, Pastor? The Son of God, the Church of God, the blood of God, the Word of God. You know why? Because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. See, we can't have any faith without the Word of God. When we read the Bible, do we always understand the Bible, Pastor? No, we don't. No, I don't. I'm sorry to disappoint you. I don't. There are times I read a passage and I'll scratch my head. I'll go over to my shelf and I'll go over to the commentary. And that passage of Scripture, Brother Howland, is conveniently omitted in the commentary too. It's very interesting. Now, you know what that means? 50 years ago, that preacher that I'm reading after, he was scratching his head too. But you know what? We read this book and it increases our faith. As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word, that ye may grow thereby. Line upon line, precept upon precept, proverb upon proverb, psalm upon psalm, amen. Chapter after chapter after chapter. Some of you said, I've been reading the Bible for years and years and years and years and years. And you know what? Your faith is stronger today than when you first started reading it. Can't do without the Word of God, folks. We try, though, don't we? We try. We think, well, I can make it. No, listen, this is our food. This is our food. And just like you and I need three meals a day or however many you break yours up into or whatever, amen. Boy, we need, you can't just live off a scrap a day. You can't just say, okay, I'm going to read this one verse today. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. There, I read my Bible. Well, that's a good verse. Real good verse. And it may give you some food. But you know what? We need more than that. We need more than that. We can't live without this, folks. I appreciate what Mrs. Howland said about the right kind of church. The right kind of church is where people not only carry their Bibles, but when the preacher says turn, they open them. That's the right kind of church. Amen. Listen, there's some things we can't live without. We can't live without the Son of God. We can't live without the church of God. Well, I need church. You need church. Amen. You know what? The world needs the church. Can't live without it. Without the blood of God, there's no salvation. And without the Word of God, we can't live without these things, folks. Father,